Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
Eager.
Wait a minute. This sounds interesting.
Oh, it is.
Don't make fun of me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's get to some Patriots items. As you've heard now over the past hour, the Patriots have released linebacker Kyle Van Noy. You have any thoughts on that, Miss?
I mean, I'm not shocked. You know, I think there was a chance it was headed this way. They need to upgrade that linebacking core. And he wasn't as horrible as some of the other guys they put out there last year. You know, I was more disappointed in Hightower, frankly. But even so, bringing Van Noy back doesn't do much for you. You got to get younger and faster there. Not good enough. You got to upgrade the linebacking core. I'm actually in favor of it.
Yeah, I thought this was an easy one and an obvious one. I thought, like, you know.
That group got exposed towards the end of the season.
Oh, did it ever.
Yeah, I mean, I really did think he would be the first to go. It's just pretty simple. I mean, and again, you know me, I think it's more a money thing than a cap thing. But doing it now is a cap thing because they don't owe him any money. Unless he has a roster bonus there, and I'm trying to look it up. I don't know if he had a roster bonus or not. If he had a roster bonus, and it was a real money thing. But short of that, you know, you don't start getting paid till those game checks in the regular season. So they could have dragged that out from a real money standpoint for a while. But, you know, hopefully, ideally, they're trying to carve out some money, some cap money, because free agency starts a week from today. So it's the tampering period that starts a week from today. But as we learned last year, the first day of the tampering day is the first day of the day. It's the day. It's when last year all those signings happened on the first day of the tampering period. Not the free agency period, if my memory serves. So it's go time a week from today. So hopefully they're clearing out some space. And I still wouldn't rule out, and how could you, them bringing back Kyle Van Noy on their number, you know, the number that they're comfortable with.
I want them to do better, though.
But they need to get younger and faster. That's sort of obvious on top of it all. So that is sort of a, I thought that was an obvious move, matter of time. I'd not be surprised if we hear news coming out soon that, and not that these guys are under contract, but Hightower and McCourty are not coming back, or, you know, like those are the other two.
This is the first domino. There's going to be more cuts.
Definitely. All right, so there it is. So what could they be carving out money for? Do you hear Greg Bedard's report over the weekend that they've already had discussions and are interested in Robbie Anderson, receiver in Carolina, formerly of the Jets? Bedard says don't hold your breath for the Patriots to draft a wide receiver. It'll come via the trade market, and Robbie Anderson is the target. You have a thought on that?
Good. Good. This is what I'd rather they do. And again, I mean, we all know that if they're going to make a trade, that Anderson's going to have to redo his contract.
Probably.
But let's get to that later. Yes, I'd rather have him do this. Absolutely. Go get a guy who's in the league that Bill's liked before. Bring him in. Figure out what it is it's going to take to get him. And use your picks on defense. Because I just think that them drafting a receiver and trying to bring him in, and that said, I don't totally hate the idea of bringing in someone from Alabama that Mac Jones has played with, but I don't want to do it early in the draft. I want to do it in the mid to late rounds, if at all.
Does Robbie Anderson move the needle with your pass catchers? Does Robbie Anderson give Mac Jones what he really needs, which is a guy? He needs a guy.
He's not that singular guy, no.
He's not a one.
He's a number two receiver.
But he's an upgrade from Nelson Agholor. Isn't this part of Bedard's story that if this were to happen, they're going to move on from Nelson Agholor?
So I'll read from it here. League sources said Anderson is not an option in the slot for the Patriots. So he would likely be a replacement for Nelson Agholor. And basically, or at basically the same salary. Agholor has $14.9 million in a cap figure this year. Anderson is due to count over $15 million. He says if the Patriots can trade Agholor, perhaps to Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler in Las Vegas, where Agholor had a standout season in 2019 for position coach Edgar Bennett, who was retained by McDaniels, And the Patriots would save $4.9 million against the cap if they debt Aguilar. So that's interesting. You know, Aguilar goes back to a quarterback we had good success with
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
I mean, that makes sense.
His position coach is back there. You upgrade, in your mind, Anderson over Aguilar. The money's kind of close.
Yeah, it's essentially a salary swap. And I think, I think you get the better player.
And that's the path.
Yeah, I like Anderson. I don't think he's a superstar, but I like him. He's good size, too. He's 6'3".
Let me tell you why I don't like it. Because it continues this trend, and I'll give you more examples of this, of the same kind of problem that we've had now for years here with Belichick and his management of the team. It's just guys that he knows and are comfortable with. He fell in love, fell in like. I mean, I don't know if I could fall in love with Robbie Anderson. But after going against him so many times against the Jets and watching film of him with the Jets, Bill took a hankering towards Robbie Anderson for whatever reason. In my mind's eye, did Robbie Anderson torch you a lot of these times? I mean, I'm sure he made a play here or there. But in my mind, it's not like Stephon Diggs or, you know, there's other examples or, you know, some guys down in Miami like Landry or like, I mean, I can think of some other guys in the division that you went against who had good success against you. And maybe I'm just not recalling it properly, but I don't remember Anderson really lighting you up. Did he?
No, not that I can recall.
Okay, either. But so,
how many of those games against the Jets in recent years were close?
I mean, so for some reason, though, Bill took a hankering to him, and so that's going to be their guy. But it's not because Bill's out there beating the bushes and uncovering every rock. It's because, yeah, I went against this guy a bunch. I know him. I like him.
Right, 3 years ago.
You know, and it's like, so it's sort of like the same thing. And I knew it. I should have known it. Jimmy, do you have the post-game cut from the Carolina game this year? Remember J.C. Jackson had a pick six. Awful Sam Darnold throw inside the Patriots red zone where J.C. Jackson took it back 80 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran this cut at the time because it was another little example of Bill taking a shot at J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson had missed a week of practice because he was sick. And then he played and had two interceptions, including an 80-yard pick six. And so Bill was sort of asked about it, but in the course of it, and it's a small little thing, but it should have stood out to me then. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I talked to him about that. That's not a sign of things to come, you know. Think that we don't have to practice and then go out there and, you know, be a star of the game. But it was a great job by him. He came out there Friday, and, you know, he was on things and actually had a good day on Friday, practiced well. And then, you know, obviously had a couple big plays today. Again, a couple of which looked like they – especially the first one, you know, came with some pressure. But he made a great play on a great run. I mean, it was, you know, I saw Robbie Anderson chasing him. I wasn't sure how that was going to come out, but because we know that Robbie can go. But, you know, J.C. beat him to the goal line, so shows you what he can do, too.
Shows you what he can do, too.
Right then and there, I should have known. It's like,
I saw Robbie Anderson chasing him. I wasn't sure how that was going to come out, but because we know that Robbie can go. But, you know, J.C. beat him to the goal line, so. Shows you what he can do too.
Like, I mean, you know, we get a Felger and Maz diagram of that sentence. Like, there's so many. Like, he takes away from J.C. Jackson. Goes, well, you know, there were pressure on a couple of those.
Yeah, that's the part we focused on at the time. I remember.
Right. You know. So yeah, I mean, they came with pressure. It's like he just threw it up there because we schemed up this pressure. And yeah, he looked good on Friday when we were, you know, it's back to the, you know, we practiced that on Friday kind of thing. You could do that too. And J.C. Jackson, you know, he really wanted to just to service Robbie Anderson in that cut. But yeah, J.C. Jackson showed what he could do there too. Either way. But when he just mentioned out of nowhere, Robbie Anderson, it's like, oh, here we go. He's got a guy. This is a guy. So like, I like Robbie Anderson too. He's an underrated little player. I liked him with the Jets, but I never watched him and went, whoa. Like, remember Jarvis Landry with the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah. No.
He would play against you like, oh, that's a guy. I never felt that way with Robbie Anderson. I know
How could you?
Some other examples. So that's going to be the guy. I mean, I don't know.
I don't mind the philosophy, though, when it comes to the kind of receiver they want to get and bring him in and do it by trade versus draft. I don't want them drafting a high pick and a receiver. They might as well just take it and light it on fire or cheat again and lose it, like one or the other. Take the chance on the cheating at this stage.
J.C. Jackson, all but gone. Final thoughts on that? I think it's a mistake. I think it's a bad move. I think it's more a contract mismanagement and roster mismanagement. And I think J.C. Jackson is being unfairly maligned by the likes of you two. But never mind the team or people around here. You've just watched him too much. You've seen too much of J.C. Jackson. The fact is, as we've gone through pretty much every statistical analysis we possibly could, whether it be targets, whether it be quarterback rating against, touchdown passes against, completion percentage against, all these things, J.C. Jackson matches up with any corner in the league over the last 4 years. You've just seen him too much. You've seen him get burned by Stephon Diggs or whoever in these big games, and so you think he's overrated. When the fact is, no one can cover anymore. Every corner gets beat. Every corner gets targeted. Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the NFL, and Tom Brady went after him, and freaking what's-his-face went after him in the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow. It happens. It's the way the position... Corners lose across the league now. Good receiver versus good corner, the receiver wins. That's the league. But you've just seen too much of J.C. Jackson, so you think he's not worth it. And I think he is. I think the team is making a mistake with this, but that's my take.
Yeah, so look, I don't mind seeing J.C. Jackson go. The part, because, again, I think he's overrated. I don't think he's worth the money. And if that means he's maligned by people like me and Murray, so be it. Fine, I don't give a rat's ass. But what I will say is what irritates me about it is that they don't have a better backup plan. That's the part that irritates the crap out of me.
They have no backup plan.
Well, exactly. So this used to be Bill's strength. This used to be what Bill was. Bill was a step ahead. Everyone else was trying to catch up. He's not ready for it. They have no option.
Yeah, the best possible option is maybe tag him and trade him, but I'm not going to lament the loss of J.C. Jackson.
Well, that's what they're trying to do by leaking this out, that they're not going to tag him. You know, he's available out there, folks, if you want him. He's going to become a free agent. So why don't you get ahead of it? We will tag him. We will trade him to you. Let us know. Window's open. But I think what they're getting right now is something like, I'm trying to make the dial tone sound. There you go. So no action on J.C. Jackson. He's out the door. Finally, there's a couple little items related to Bill Belichick's staff, how they staff the Indianapolis Combine, what their coaches have been doing this offseason that really crawled up my tuchus. We'll get to that and your calls right after these words.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
Teams hold meetings with agents. Like, that's, you know, pretty standard at the combine. So, mm-hmm. You know, agents will line up meetings with as many teams as they possibly can, and the teams will meet with as many agents as they can. And the Patriots had representing them a young area scout, and I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. It's Marshall Aweem. He's a pro scout for the team. He was hired 4 years ago, and he's sort of been a lower level scout. And he was the guy who was meeting with agents about their free agents. And so that struck people as weird. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and I had like a prominent agent tell me this story, which blew me away. He said the Patriots are still operating as if it's 5 or 6 years ago, where they can go in with premium free agents and say to them, we're not going to meet your price, but if your market craters, come back with to us and maybe we can do a one-year deal. And this agent said to me, it's like, I don't know what they're talking about. It's like, yeah, maybe I'd send my guy there when Tom Brady was there to restore his stock, but why would I send him there now? You know, so there's still sort of this feeling that they're operating as if they're the Tom Brady Patriots, when there's, you know, again, a lot of the infrastructure from those years, I mean, forget even just the quarterback, you know, all of that's gone.
Burt Beer on this morning with Toucher and Rich. Catch it at 985thesportshub.com or on the app. Did a spot there coming off the Indianapolis Combine. So who the hell did the Patriots send to Indianapolis? We talked about this lacrosse bro that was doing some interviewing last week. Now it's a low-level pro scout that's talking to the agents and doing the free agency stuff. It's like kind of a way Burt sort of presents it as a nobody. I don't mean that so disrespectfully, but, you know, again, low-level scout, as he said. And the Pats are still acting like, oh, no, you got to come to us before we come to you. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It tells me, again, it tells me multiple things. One of which is, if they have someone who's lower level going to agents and saying, we're not going to meet your price, but if the market thins out and, you know, we'll talk to you then. Well, then they're not planning any sort of big expenditures on the free agent market.
Doesn't seem like
We could start with that. And then the other thing is, you know, Bill clearly has his mind made up, and my guess is as to what he's going after in the draft. I think he's already got some sort of clue there in terms of what they're going to target, what's going to be available to them. And, you know, they clearly are operating with some level of arrogance as if
they
still have Tom Brady.
Shouldn't you show up just to see maybe if there's a needle in the haystack, something you weren't expecting? Isn't that doing your due diligence?
Yes.
I mean, it is either arrogance or
stubbornness.
Laziness.
Or laziness. Like, they just have sort of let go of the rope, or Bill not hyper-involved, or it's the other thing. That's a waste of time anyway. And, you know, what sort of clues me off on that, and they're both bad. So everyone else is stupid for going to Indianapolis? All the coaches that went to Indy, stupid. You're one step ahead of the game again? Everyone else is stupid, but you got it right. You're smart for not going. Everyone else, stupid. I mean, I might give you that if you had drafted better over the last 5 years or so. You haven't. Your drafting has sucked. But you're still going to act like, ah, this thing's beneath me? This thing's a waste of my time when everyone else is there? I mean, here's a couple things that along these lines. You read Mike Reese on Sunday? So Mike Reese's lead item was coaches fly with the Eagles. Again, the Patriots' big defensive coaches, when I say big, meaning Mayo, Steve Belichick, their main defensive coaches did not go to Indianapolis. And we spent time on this last week as well. Where'd they go instead of Indianapolis? BC. So here's Reese's first line. Most Patriots coaches did not attend the NFL Combine this year. Joining a growing number of teams that are looking for more productive ways for coaches to spend their time. When I read that, it's like, again, I'm not getting on mic because this is reflecting what the team is
sure,
you know, is putting out there. Well, that's not very productive. It's a waste of time. It's stupid to go there. So we're going to find a more productive use of our time. Instead of going to the main college scouting combine, where most of the blue chip prospects go, at least are interviewed or have physicals, if not do a full workout, where most of the entire league goes, instead of doing that, we're going to find something more productive to do, okay? Because going there is unproductive. It's what stupid teams do, Maz.
Yep, dumb.
Dumb teams go to the combine.
They waste time.
So now going to the combine is unproductive and a waste of time. It's like, oh, God. All because Bill didn't want to go, or Bill was on vacation, or Bill what? For what? I mean, why don't we just be real about it? So now it's stupid and unproductive to go to the combine.
He wanted to be on a paddleboard.
It's much more productive to go to Boston effing college, who sucks. So here's what Reese writes.
This is the part that blew my mind.
One example of how the Patriots did so last week was the defensive staff visiting Boston College's spring practice. The coach is Halfley. I cut out his first name. I'm sorry, I don't know what his first name is. The BC coach, Coach Halfley. Coach Halfley, 42, provided background on how BC's defensive coordinator, Tem Lubuku, again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to butcher the name, but I'm just so bad at it, has a long-time connection. The defensive coordinator, and again, Lukabu, has a long-time connection with Patriots outside linebackers coach, play caller, Steve Belichick, from their time together at Rutgers.
Of course.
Halfley also spent the 2011 season at Rutgers when Steve Belichick was a long snapper. Okay, so do you follow all that, people? Going to Indianapolis, where everyone else goes, is now unproductive. What is productive is to take your entire defensive staff to Steve Belichick's Rutgers buddies at Boston College, who blow, to monitor their spring practice. That's more productive than going and looking at college, the top college recruits in Indianapolis? What planet am I on? Like, someone has to explain that to me. All because Stevie long snapped at Rutgers when Halfley was there? And what's his connection to Lukabu? They were together at Rutgers. So instead of going to the Indy Combine, which is now unproductive, what is productive is going to Boston effing college because Steve Belichick spent time at Rutgers with their coaches.
Oh, you got to exchange ideas and thoughts.
You've got to be kidding me. Does BC have any defensive prospects that are going to be drafted?
Couldn't even begin to tell you.
I could not begin to tell you. If the answer is yes, please correct me.
If you asked me if BC had a defense, I wouldn't be able to answer it.
Does BC have any draftable defensive players? Is there anyone there worth looking at? So how is monitoring Boston College's spring practice more productive than going to Indianapolis? And if it is, wow, the Pats are once again ahead of everybody. The Pats are smart. Everyone else is stupid at 10-8, getting their ass kicked in the first round of the playoffs. Definitely, I would definitely say Steve Belichick is one step ahead of everybody else, as he didn't force a single punt against their division rival over their final two games. Oh, that's just, that is so rich. Mike Reese, love you, mean it. But now, going to Indy is unproductive. Going and monitoring, again, I just have to reiterate this, Boston College's spring practice is more productive? That's about the dumbest thing I've read in a long time. I mean, come on. Are you really selling that now? Is that what we're selling?
I can get them into the Tufts practice if they're looking for that.
Jesus. I mean, right? Was Babson unavailable? Did they even have football? Like, Boston College's spring practice, that's where you're going to uncover the secrets.
BU.
Boston College's spring practice.
Oh, wait, they don't have football anymore.
Oh, so why were you there? Oh, I get it. Stevie went to Rutgers with the coach and the defensive coordinator. Now it makes sense. God. Here's the other one. Item number four from Mike Reese. Magic 8-ball. Quote, there's nobody better than Coach Belichick at that middle eight. I wasn't there long, but I can remember some real dialogue about that. That was a quote from Minnesota Vikings first-year head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
Who was obviously a former Patriots draft pick, a 2008 third-round pick. He's now the head coach of Minnesota. And so I guess someone at some point asked him about how he manages the clock or whatever. He said, there's nobody better than Coach Belichick at that middle eight. I wasn't there long, but I can remember some real dialogue about that. Talking about the Patriots' great proficiency with the hairpin turn and the double score.
Right. Last 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 minutes of the second.
As Mike Reese writes, the middle eight is the final 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second. And O'Connell's reference to Belichick's long ago, highlighting that is an area where games are won and lost, reflects Belichick's continued game management influence in NFL circles. Again, I don't read that very well, but are you following this? That Kevin O'Connell is saying Belichick was a master at that middle eight. And Reese says that Belichick's long ago highlighting of that as an area where games are won or lost reflects Belichick's continued game management influence across the NFL. What a trendsetter Bill is. You know, he's just, you know, coaches follow what Bill Belichick did with that middle eight.
Trailblazer.
Can I ask someone this? And this is a nerd call now. My status, you know, Boston Sports Inf, please. I'd like these numbers. How have the Patriots been in the middle eight the past 2 years?
Since Brady left?
Yes. Oh, I'm just curious. Do you think the middle eight was Bill? Or was the middle eight Brady? We're giving Bill credit now for the double scores and the hairpin turns? How have they been on the hairpin turns under Cam Newton and Mac Jones?
Sucky.
I'd like to know this. Because in my mind's eye, other than some of these blowout wins, I don't recall them masterfully manipulating the clock at the end of the second quarter against the Bucks and then scoring on the first drive out of the third, unless they did, and then I'll take it back. But do you remember them doing these things?
Nope.
What I remember is Bill, his sphincter tightening up when Mac Jones had the ball in his hand and him running the ball and punting.
Yep.
Mike, you already know this. How many times, especially towards the end of the year, did we take those phone calls? How come they don't get the ball first? They need to score first. How come they keep deferring? People hated how they were treating the coin toss.
Yeah, the year Cam Newton was here, I thought they did an especially good job with Brian Hoyer in Kansas City at the end of the first half. That was particularly good.
But O'Connell's reference to Belichick long ago highlighting that as an area where games are won and lost reflects Belichick's continued game management influence in the NFL circles. How has Bill been in the middle eight since he lost Tom Brady? I'm just looking for a statistical analysis. If I'm wrong, in my mind's eye, I will admit it, I'm good at this, admitting I'm wrong. If somehow the Patriots have continued to dominate the middle eight with Cam Newton and Mac Jones, tell me that, I'll tell you I'm wrong. Otherwise, this is another preposterous.
Yeah, but Felga, Bill was the first one to say that the middle eight was important.
Give me a break.
He didn't say they could still do it.
And Kevin O'Connell, what are you smoking? Kevin O'Connell. So now we think this is Bill? At one time, I thought it was. I've been disabused of that notion in the last 2 years. How have they been at the end of the second and the beginning of the third with Mac Jones at quarterback? Never mind Cam Newton at quarterback. I'm curious to know that.
I think they kind of blow it.
My guess is they've sucked. And my guess is with Mac Jones, they barely even tried half the time. That they just sat on it and went into the locker room. And oh, by the way, took the ball first in a lot of these games and didn't even have the chance for the double score. Because you know why, Kevin? And everybody else, it's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. And I used to believe the other thing. I've been disabused of that notion. So I'm sorry. That was like 12 minutes of ranting, but those two things went right up my ass.
I love the fact that it's now called the middle eight.
It's the middle eight. Oh, it's Bill. Bill's going to get credit for the middle eight. To me, I feel like the middle eight went to Tampa. And we've been stuck with a couple of guys that we just punt and go to the locker room is what it feels like to me. But if you want to continue to give Bill credit for that, go ahead. Live in that fantasy land. We're also in fantasy land. Going to Boston College to watch a spring practice is now suddenly more productive than going to the Indianapolis Combine. Again, top five stupidest things I've heard in a long time. Here's an update from Big Jim. Then we're back.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt,
he does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the program. Let's get to some breaking news that does relate to the Patriots. Let's hit it.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, you can forget about any potential the Patriots trying to trade for wide receiver Calvin Ridley of the Atlanta Falcons, as the NFL has announced that they are suspending Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley indefinitely for at least the 2022 season for gambling on NFL games after he left the team last season.
So, Murray had been reporting earlier in the day that the Pats were one of the teams that had reached out to Atlanta or was interested in Calvin Ridley, right?
That is correct. According to the Schultz report, He tweeted today, multiple teams have expressed interest in Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. That includes the Patriots and the Browns, according to league sources.
So you had been calling on Calvin Ridley. That was someone on your radar. And now he was off it for at least a year for gambling on NFL games. Which, to me, you know how I feel about that? I think the gambling suspensions are appropriate for these players. You can't do it, even though, and I'll read from the statement right here. A league investigation uncovered no evidence indicating any inside information was used or that any game was compromised in any way. In fact, the activity took place during a 5-day period in late November while Ridley was not with the team and was away from the club's facility on the non-football illness list. Okay? But here's the slippery slope. So he was away. He was on leave or because he had a mental health issue, and so was away from the team. And so that apparently is when the gambling took place. Okay? So it was during a 5-day period in late November while Ridley was not with the team. When you bet during the 5-day period when you're not with the team, you fall behind to your bookie. When you come back and do play, what do you do?
You tank.
You bet.
Yeah.
To get your money back.
Correct.
And if you get in a big enough hole, you affect the outcome of a game, or you give the bookie inside information that clears your marker, or whatever the case may be. This is why gambling has been and always should be, in my mind, the death sentence in pro sports. It gets Paul Hornung suspended for a year, the golden boy of the NFL, biggest star in the NFL, suspended for a year way back when. You don't even know what I'm talking about, most of you, but the old timers know what I'm talking about. To, I think, Michael Jordan being sent away from the NBA by David Stern in a, you know, under the table suspension. That's why he quit in the middle of his championship run. He didn't quit. He was suspended because he was in deep with all sorts of shady crap. To Pete Rose in baseball, to this thing. So anyway, take Calvin Ridley off the list.
Okay, so look, I have a couple of things on this thing. First, and this is obvious, you know, and so I don't even want to get down this road. The idea that, but now gambling on the games is legal in a lot of places.
Doesn't matter.
I understand that, but like the hypocrisy, there is some level of hypocrisy with the NFL here because there's money to be made. Okay, so that's an aside. I'm not sure I believe the 5-day thing.
Oh, me neither.
I don't believe it for a second. In fact, so this guy had already had a leave of absence, and now he's getting suspended for a year. I say leave of absence, but, and I'm not minimizing mental health issues if they're real or what have you. But doesn't it feel like he got busted while he was playing? They sent him off, and now they're releasing this, and they're going to have him sit out another year?
What's your gut tell you? I mean, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and I would say file under who the heck knows.
Yeah.
The kid's in all sorts of trouble. He's a mess.
So it only happened during a 5-day span when he was already away from the team? Boy, that's convenient.
It sure is.
That is really convenient. We're not going to see this guy for a while.
Yeah, the league doesn't want to unearth the real truth here either. This is more convenient for them too.
Oh, no, yeah, don't you get it? Tim Donaghy was just a rogue ref.
Yeah, right.
No one else was involved. No one else, just him. It was only him. Only him.
Yeah, I don't buy it for a second.
So
that's a shame. He's a stud. The Patriots are really going to get him too.
He can play.
Yeah.
I bet you trade for him now, you get good value.
Yeah.
You know? So scratch that one off the list. No wonder that they're interested in Robbie Anderson.
That's probably how it came to be.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure that's exactly how it came to be, that they knew they weren't going to be able to get Ridley. Again, the news cycle, we're way behind here. The teams have all known this. They've known this because they've called, and then the Falcons have said, there's something going on there.
All right, I promise. Your basketball calls, all the stuff on the Patriots we've gotten to this hour, this story on Ridley, long commercial-free segment.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win. with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, a lot on the table. Celtics, it's a lead story. Our Patriots stuff here. The Calvin Ridley news, suspended for a year for gambling on the NFL. Take him off the list. Whatever you want. Here's Andrew and Taunton. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going? The Patriots are just pissing me off more and more by the day. So it's not enough that your offensive coaching staff is a complete laughingstock around the league. Nope, we're going to one-up and send a lax bro and a guy who doesn't know what the hell they're doing to talk to agents of free agents of people at the combine. And we're still going to operate under this premise that we still have Tom effing Brady. Like, what the hell is going on over there? And so everyone's stupid for going to the combine. We're going to go to BC instead. I'm honestly just at the point, like, does Bill just not care anymore? Like, if he's just going to half-ass and not even give a crap, and they're going to not improve this year, and this whole thing's going to blow up in their face, then you know what? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. You can get the F out of here and take your bullet hair son with you. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite there yet, Andrew. I'll just stop you. But I am frustrated by all the little dribs and drabs that I've picked up this offseason.
If I were the Crafts, I'd be paying attention to all this.
It's like, and it just, oh my God, and the way it's being spun, like it's more productive to go to the spring practice of Boston College, not Alabama or Clemson, but Boston College, than it is to go to where all the best college prospects are for the Indianapolis Combine, where 90% of the league goes. You're somehow ahead of the game by going to Boston College's spring practice. Okay. But it's all, why'd they go? Because Steve Belichick went to Rutgers with the head coach and the defensive coordinator. And why is Bill interested in Robbie Anderson? Well, Robbie Anderson, I guess, isn't going to be suspended for a year for gambling like Calvin Ridley, but also Bill's familiar with them, knows them. And it's like, it's all just part of this piece of just going to do with what he's familiar with people he knows, connections that he has, the either buddies or kids of buddies. And it's just what it's all of the same thing that is just, I feel has been, it permeates their entire offseason.
Yeah, look, and if you wanted to tell me that, look, most people will gravitate towards things that they're comfortable with, you know, blah, 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 blah. But he at the same time is completely resistant to any other ideas from someone else. Like, it's one thing if you feel that way, but you say, you know what, I'm going to rely on someone else to do this because I'm just going to go to the same people all the time. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. It's not like he wants other people's input.
We've got Chris in Rhode Island on the Celts. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. A couple of things I saw at the game yesterday with the Celtics. First, vast contrast between Drummond, Durant, and Kyrie right before National Anthem, and I normally don't think about the National Anthem much anymore, but blinking back to the locker room, and then as this 15-year-old girl's belting the anthem, you have Tatum standing there, tall as can be, hand over the hat.
Hey, Chris.
And then when those... Yes.
Okay. I got it. That's really not on the table today, but fine. Go ahead. Next.
Okay. As far as Kyrie goes, fans booed him from start to finish. Even when he threw an insignificant pass in from an inbound pass, so yeah, for 2 seconds, fans hate him. He called basically your modern fan base racist, and you could tell people do not like him. End of the game, it was more Marcus Smart calming the crowd down. They showed Tatum probably on TV, but he was kind of quieting people down more.
Right, just so
it wasn't a
right. So just so you know, and the anthem thing, I don't even know what you're talking about, so I didn't see that. But if they were disrespecting the anthem, you hate him for that. You hate him for what he did to you. You hate him for stomping on the logo. You hate him for calling you racist. Yep, yep, yep. So you let him have it. Just know, Jason Tatum, at least if not Marcus Smart too. I didn't see Marcus Smart. They side with him over you. Just know that. Doesn't make you wrong. I'm definitely not telling you not to do it, especially because I think it really does get to Kyrie and affects his performance. So keep doing it. It helps your team. No problem. Just know that your best player and most of your best players side with him and have his back over your feelings. Just want to make that clear.
I mean, that's one of the scary things with Kyrie, because we saw it in the bubble. He's got influence over a lot of players in that league.
Dan in Waltham. Go ahead, Dan, on that thing.
Well, just real quick, since there was so much Patriots talk, they frustrated and confused me too. And the fact that Brian Flores is somewhere on a different team at less than a defensive coordinator position, I hope they looked at him, but they probably didn't, so that's kind of disgraceful. But just on the Celtics, you know, I never liked Kyrie, but as a fan, if I'm going to be an adult about, you know, wanting the Celtics to be good, then I would rather Tatum be a friend of, you know, the top players in the NBA, in this modern NBA. I care more about him, his relationship with them, than his relationship with us as a fan base, because tangibly that's actually going to have a bigger effect on the team's success.
I mean, that's a fair point. It's like you're
a great point.
And you're no different. You know, there's, I'd say most NBA stars fall into this category. There's a brotherhood there. There's a clique. It's a very cliquey league, right?
Oh, big time.
Oh, my God. You make that All-Star weekend, you're in the cool guy weekend. You're a cool guy. And you get to all the good parties and all that. So it's very, very cliquey. And so Tatum wants to be in that clique. They all want to be in that clique. And that's just, that does not make it unusual.
It's an easier sell to a potential free agent, what the caller is saying. Like, he can just say, like, look, you know, you might think these people are dicks, but it's actually a pretty fun place to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's a power broker.
Or even though they're dicks, we can still do our thing here and forget them. You know, they're just there. And we can still do our thing here. I'm perfectly content here. I'm winning here. And, you know, you can too.
Yeah, I mean, again, if he's in that circle,
right,
he's a power broker in the league. That's what he is. Or, you know, and I'm not saying he's there yet, but he's pretty close.
Play like that yesterday, he's going to be there.
I mean, let's not forget, he had a 50-point game against him in the playoffs last year. I think that one was 51, and he was awesome in that game, too. He gets up to play against Durant. He definitely gets up to play against Durant. And just quickly, did you guys see this early in the game yesterday? There was a whistle, and Durant went down to, like, the low post and was calling out some sort of play, and Tatum went over to guard him and, like, bent over to put his hands on his knees and put his shoulder in Durant's sort of chest and, you know, gut. It was just like, I'm just letting you know I'm here kind of thing. It wasn't nasty or mean, but it did sort of suggest to me that Tatum was there to play.
Pete in Rockland, go ahead on Bill Belichick without Brady. What's his take?
This is Pete in Rockland. I just wanted to pile on to your take, Mike. I just think that with Brady gone down, I know a lot of people have said it, with Brady gone down, everything is coming true about Belichick. You know, in years past, they made it to the playoffs, the Super Bowl. So it was never really looked at, but now the things with Brady, they're just, you know, without Brady, they're coming to fruition. Like Belichick, he just needs
being exposed. It's what's happening. Bill's being exposed. And this offseason has just crawled up my ass in so many different ways. And the coverage of it, too, I don't mean to pile on Mike Reese, but it's just this thing about Bill being credited for his work with the middle eight. And it was a Kevin O'Connell quote. Again, he just took over as coach of the Vikings. Was a quarterback here on the bench, former draft pick here. Nobody better than Coach Belichick at that middle eight. I wasn't there long, but I can remember some real dialogue about that. And Reese saying that this still resonates across the league, how Bill and the way Bill managed the clock in those situations has been a real tone setter across the league. He's still being credited for it. And it's like, since Brady's gone, how have they been in the middle eight? I mean, I just started to look my way. Again, nerd call. Tell me how the Patriots rank in the league or have done in the league. Last possession of the second quarter, first possession of the third. I bet they've sucked the last 2 years, just to guess. I'm just, you know, how's Bill been in the middle eight without Tom Brady? How about going to the Brady game here? I just looked it up. Do you remember what happened at the end of the first half in that Tampa game? You had a 4th-and-2 at the Tampa 44 with 2 minutes left in the first half. Ball in your hands. Ball in your hands. Mac Jones on the field. 4th-and-2 at the Tampa 44. You know what you did? You punted. First, you took an illegal, you took a delay of game in punt formation, but you punted. So you had a perfect chance there. 4th-and-2 at the Tampa 44, 2 minutes left. Perfect chance to get a first down, bleed the clock, and nail that middle eight. You know what you did? You punted. You know what Brady did? Took the ball back, went down, kicked a field goal just before the half, then got the ball to start the third quarter. Who nailed the middle eight? Bill? Or is it Brady? Why are we still doing this?
It was the quarterback. It always was the quarterback. It makes coaching a hell of a lot easier when a quarterback can control the clock.
I don't know why I'm so mental about that, but I just kind of, maybe I just, it's a Monday and that's the thing I'm choosing to be mental about. But anyway, I think it's a worthwhile thing to be mental about, don't you?
Oh, you can be mental about whatever you want, because if it isn't this, it's going to be something else.
We picked this all up on the other side. There's been some breaking news today, both here in New England and across the NFL. More on the Ridley news. If you don't know what that is, Murray will get you updated. And the Patriots made a roster move. And it feels like they're starting their purge, if you will, this offseason. Who got the gate? You'll hear that coming up next hour. More of your thoughts. I'll mix in a Bruins minute. I've got a Bruins trade target for you. A Bruins trade target that did not occur to me until the weekend, and I'll explain that to you coming up this hour as well. First, the update, no commercials here.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.